I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rise and shine, Atlanta. Apparently, I'm Ding, he's Dong, she's Ali, and you throw in a Drake Stan, and our forces go together to create the morning shift. Mm.
I like that, man. Yeah. I'm Ding, he's Dong. let's just fire out the gate.
Seriously, I'm Bo Morgan, he's the All-American National Champion. Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for. Johnson, he played for the Falcons at one point in time in his life. And she is the great Allie Mack, the first lady of baseball.
I'm glad you clarified.
And Dylan is still a Drake Stan.
Yeah, I think he wears that. He's good.
That point remains true.
As long as it's not Eagles fan, he's fine.
Exactly. I just don't like false narratives.
I had to double check. I literally just Googled because I've always thought I knew what Stan meant, like a Stan.
I'm still not
sure. But I'm like, you never know. Like, I might have missed out on something in the last
week.
Maybe
it's an acronym for something.
And then, you know, the woke folk come at me, and I'll be, like, in trouble because I called Dylan Drake Stan. So I had to double check.
Mike, what do you think a Stan is?
Now, I know that I don't think it comes from this, but I always think of the Eminem song Stan.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's
where it comes from.
Nailed it.
So exactly. Yep. Yeah, I had no idea that's actually what it was based off of, but that's the kind of person I think of when I think of Stan.
Yeah. Okay, that's perfect. Exactly who it is.
Is that the root word for that? It's an obsessed
fanboy or girl.
Yeah. And you know what's sad?
I feel good about it now. You know what I mean? I feel good about it. Now if somebody could tell me where the word cap came from, then we'd be talking about something. But
I know the Gen Zers like to make fun of like millennials for being so old and everything, but like if you ask them where does Stan come from, they would have no idea. They've never seen that music video.
I used to be a high school teacher. All right. And this younger generation, and I hope they're listening because we always hope that they're listening and hope they're fans. But I will say they think because they have Google in their pocket that they can come up with just new words for everything. Mm-mm. And you're like, bro, okay, that's cool. Like, I'm glad you did that because they just assume they're just smarter than us because they come up with longer words for everything.
These
are the same things we've been dealing with for like 100 years. Yes. You know what I mean? It's just because you came up with a fresh word off Google using Webster.com does not mean that you're any more enlightened than we are.
No.
Don't even get me started, right? Allie, it's too early. Too early.
Well, the other thing they were probably seeing on their phones yesterday is all the headlines that were coming out. There was so much that happened regarding the NFL yesterday. Let's go around the room. Bo, what's your headline for today?
The original was better.
That's a tease. Okay.
Yeah. I'm not sure where you're going with that.
Yes. Eastern Conference Finals. The original was better.
Yeah. I gotcha. Mike, I'm saving you for last because I think I know where you're going to go. Yeah. So, Dylan, what's your headline?
The Knicks are in trouble. I gotta follow Bo by saying the Knicks are in trouble.
Well, we are going to get an update on the NBA playoffs coming up in the front page at 6:20. Mike, what's your headline?
Why are you assuming I'm not going NBA? I'm not going tush-push, though, if that's what you're looking for.
Oh, that's what I was looking for.
No. Instead, I'm going to say, is Protector Award really the best we could come up with? Like, that's what we're calling the Protector Award?
Tell me.
Oh, my gosh, dude. Like, all the time. I've waited for this for my whole life, and you're telling me Protector Award is all we could come up with.
Dude, I read that, and I was like, tell me what we think. I mean, that's like, tell me you don't like me without telling me this kind of thing. Like,
Protector
we're going to call you the Protectors. Dude.
Okay, just real quick, Mike, I don't know if you have one off the top of your head, but if there's any other name that you come up with besides Protector Award that you know is better, is there a name out there that you would float out there?
You know what? Let me float back to that because I'm sure I can. Not on the spot, but I'm sure that within the next 20 minutes I can dig up something that's a little bit better than that.
Well, I'm looking up synonyms for protector, bodyguard.
No, that's the thing. See, stop right there. I don't need a synonym for I don't want it to be protector. I don't want it to be anything close to protector. Can we go like baller? You know, I don't know. Like something that protector just seems so like new school, we pass the ball 60 times a game. Like, you know what I mean? Like, come on, man. Like that. You're telling me that one of the Jordan Mailata is going to win the Protector Award? Like, come on, dude. That's come on.
Well, the big headline yesterday, obviously, the tush push lives. Mike, how are you feeling about that?
Well, I got so many different thoughts, and I'm so angry at so many different people that seem so unenlightened. And I'm talking about national media members that are like, oh, there's really no danger in this. Yes, there is, dude. I promise you, there is danger in this. And it's not so much what the tush push is, it's the way you defend the tush push that there's danger in.
Okay, well, let's get to all of it. Let's find a way to get to all of it. Because I heard some, I heard people talking about it yesterday as well, some local, and I just thought the word ignorant means uninformed. And so I thought the ignorance of the...
Let me write that down.
The well, I say that because people, if you say it, if you call someone ignorant, people act like it's a bad word, and yeah. It's not necessarily a bad word.
You called me ignorant one time. I thought we were going to throw hands.
Yeah, it's not a bad word. It just means you're uninformed on the situation, the topic we were talking about.
I'd just rather not be called that.
I mean, then you know, inform yourself, treat yourself, inform yourself. The ignorance that comes with the talking points about this rule is what drives me nuts. One of which is it legal for the defense to do what it takes to stop the play? Which would be line up, go two deep defensive line. Go two deep with the line. So your second level would be defensive linemen, and they would be shoved in there behind them, and they would be pushing other defensive linemen to counter the offense, pushing each other.
What you're talking about is a defensive tush push.
Yes. Is that legal?
No. It hasn't been legal since spring of 2012.
So let me ask you this. How can a play how can it be legal for the offense to do it when the defense can't do the really only thing that can stop it?
And here's the question I have coming off the ruling yesterday. At what point will it be legal for the defense to do it? Because you don't want to ban the tush push. Okay, then you need to make it legal for the defense to do the same thing the other way around. That's the only answer for me. And again, it still blows my mind that 22 owners could vote against something yesterday, and it's still a rule. And it still blows my mind that that's even possible. But yes, I mean, to your point, no, it's not legal for the defense to push back in the same manner that the offense is pushing, which is frustrating.
And see, that's where...
And I played offense. I'm not here to be a defensive stand, like y'all just called it. It is what it is.
Well, I think it's a good point. I don't believe... the other thing I want to... I have two more things. The other thing I want to get to is, can we, like, dispel the notion that anybody can do it successfully? Because I don't believe that's the case.
No, I don't either.
I don't believe that we can run Tyler Allgeier in there and have a successful tush push. I think that I think maybe there's a chance. I just don't think it's a given. I've heard people say, well, you don't like it? Why don't you do it? They run in so-and-so. Like, Kyle Pitts is not lining up at quarterback and running successful tush push because he's 6'6". I think it takes a certain type of player. To me, there's a reason why the two teams that run this, their quarterbacks are like, 6'5". 250 and 6'3", 240.
I was going to say, I think too many people, when it comes to this personnel-wise, are focused on the height of the quarterback. To me, that's not even a thing.
Well, it's a strength.
The height of the quarterback is not a thing. It's the strength. It's the leg drive, right? Victor Wembanyama can line up behind quarterback, and yeah, maybe he can reach his arms out a little bit longer, but it's all about being able to drive the legs for the tush push to actually work. That's why it works so well with Jalen Hurts. He's probably got the strongest lower body, and I'm not trying to go too far on a limb right here, but I bet he's probably got the strongest lower body of any quarterback in NFL history.
That's why I brought up the only two quarterbacks that do it, which are Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts.
Right.
Jalen Hurts is a freak. To your point, lower body. Josh Allen is also bigger than, well, hell, one of our edge players right now.
He's built like a tight end.
He's almost built like he could come off the edge right now.
That's a good point.
Oh, I mean, he's six.
Big old dude.
He's 6'5", right?
Yeah.
250?
I'd say he's heavier than that. I think he's bigger than that.
And Jalen Walker is 6'1", 240.
Yeah.
And James Pierce Jr. is 6'5", 250.
Yeah.
So he's built like an edge player. That's why. But even to that point, the reason I think they go over the guard is because he doesn't have the leg drive that Jalen Hurts does.
Yeah, and Landon Dickerson is the left guard, and he's been kind of, honestly, he's been the biggest key to me to this entire thing. Landon Dickerson's a guy who is, at least he was at one point last year, the highest paid guard in NFL history. He's a big dude. He's 330, 335, naturally gifted, was a five-star recruit to Florida State. He's one of those guys that is just the central focus in this entire thing. Now, you know, you've been through a couple of different centers, but I think the centers actually in this scenario are secondary. The centers aren't really allowed to fire off because they are snapping the ball. The guards are the ones and the tackles are the ones that are actually allowed to fire off and move defensive players backwards.
That's where I want to talk another thing. I think the center is probably the guy that's at the most – he's the most vulnerable in the play.
As it stands right now,
for
yeah.
For the offense.
Yeah, as it stands right now, probably, yes.
That's why I had a problem with Jason Kelce selling his soul to Jeffrey Lurie yesterday.
Well, I was curious about that because it felt like yesterday when we were talking about this, I thought for sure we'd be walking in here today saying it had been banned. And so with Jason Kelce going in, talking to the owners before this vote happened, do you think that had influence?
I don't think it did near to the effect that people think. Mm. I think one of the things that I was reading about was that the league, that a couple of the owners that voted against it or voted for it to keep it, to vote against banning it, felt like they were being used by the league because the league used the Packers, who do not have a owner, a principal owner. They're more of it's a group ownership as far as, you know, fans and everything on it, and it's like a city kind of thing. My thing, and I know we got to go to break so maybe we can get to another side. My thing is I think Jason Kelce sold his soul because he's a guy who had publicly said he hated it back when he played. He had an interview where he was talked about he didn't want to, and then he went out there and said if he could run 60 of them, he'd still be playing. Mm-hmm. That is a BS line, and then he refused to speak to the media.
Yeah, let's push a little bit of this to the other side. I do want to talk a little bit more about the tush push. It was week 7, 2011. Yeah, got put on IR promptly after that game because of people being pushed, and it was banned just a few months later. Tell you that story on the other side. We also got to get to the front page. Massive game in the NBA last night. I feel like that ball is still hanging up in the air before it goes through on the two. You get the choke sign, everything else. Stick with us. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio 92.9.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The game. I can't wait long enough for the beat to drop in this one. Thank you, Dido.
You can tell
singing the chorus.
You can tell Dylan doesn't really know his own song.
This is a good tune though, man. This changed a lot of things. I'm glad that there's a word based off of this song because the song was just different, man. It really was.
I think the word might have been out there before, but this definitely pushed the narrative of what a stand was.
Okay.
I think. I could be wrong. You have to ask Eminem. I didn't write it.
I thought that's what y'all were telling me last segment. Like, that's the word stand came from this song.
It did. It did. But the people that use it mostly don't know where it came from.
Yeah. Well, that's
that's what's so funny about it.
Shocker about that one, right?
I have a feeling.
Nobody knows what it means, but it's provocative.
Thank you, Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that I would probably start tuning this down because I don't know where it is. There's some language in the song.
Yeah.
I would dare to say, though, that he's the one that put it on the map, and it was probably something known in, like, circles of artists.
You think he just
named
him Stan to be ironic?
No, I think that word was out there between, like, artists and stuff. That's a Stan, and then he just wrote a song about it. Eminem's extremely creative. I mean, he took Papa Doc down, so I give him
kind of like
all
Steph
the credit
Noah
in the world.
Talking to us about ducks and pigeons in the NBA the other day. We're like, what is that? Like, it's been a word that's been around for a long time. You know, in NBA circles.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
All right, so in a little bit, we are going to get to some Falcons stuff, man. All the coordinators talked yesterday. I thought that some of the comments coming from both Zach Robinson and Jeff Ulbrich were nothing short of eye-opening. So I want to make sure we get into that just a little bit, and we'll talk schematics of Jeff Ulbrich, man. I think that he really opened up my pathway of thinking and how the draft actually unfolded for the Atlanta Falcons. We'll get NBA in just a second. I do want to finish up this tush-push talk, though. and obviously gets banned yesterday. 22-10 was the vote in favor of banning. I say, yeah, obviously it did not get banned yesterday. I'm sorry, I should go back on that.
Right.
22-10 was the vote in favor of banning it, but that's not enough. You need 24 in the NFL. So this conversation, like the Jason Kelce's, like, it's really not a, you know, you're not at any risk of injury. Yeah, dude, like, here's the problem. So if you go and make the rule okay for defensive pushers, you are at risk of injury. Well, no, you're not, Mike, because I promise you are, okay, because it happened to me. Now, I was on a field goal unit. I was on the field goal unit at Detroit. I think we were week 7 or 8. It's the 2011 season. They had a massive, and I mean massive, defensive line. Sam Baker was out that day. Will Svitek had to play left tackle. So I had to play Sam Baker's role in the field goal unit. I played right tackle on the field goal unit. And, yeah, it was not good. I had a pusher on each shoulder. They had a single pusher behind them that was a linebacker. I remember the personnel that was involved in this.
Well, how big do we think they are? I got quick fingers, so let's go.
Okay, you tell me. All right, so Ndamukong Suh on my right shoulder, which –
that one's easy.
Absolutely terrifying.
He's about 315, maybe 320, depending on what part of the year it was.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. If it was after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Okay. So go to my left shoulder. The B gap defender. That's the kid out of Stillman. Stillman's an HBCU out of Tuscaloosa. His last name's Hill.
I know who it is. It's Sammy Lee Hill.
Sammy Lee Hill. Yes. He's a defensive tackle out of Stillman College. In Tuscaloosa.
Okay, hold on. We got
a little bit of a local
reference.
Legend over in Tuscaloosa because you got the University of Alabama and this guy, Stillman, down the street's going getting drafted to the Lions. You're like, who's that guy? Jeez.
Wow.
So he's listed at 328, which means he's probably more like 340 because the bigger they are, the more they lie on the negative.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
I don't think we have to pump up their numbers too much because they're both north of 315.
But we're going to put them at 328 for this exercise.
Okay, and that alone would be enough, but that's legal. Like, you can do that. You can double-team an offensive lineman. It's the same way. It's what the offensive lineman do to the defensive lineman all the time. And then you put the pusher behind. And the pusher was a guy named Tulloch. I want to say he's number 55. He was big linebacker.
It's Stephen Tulloch.
Stephen Tulloch, big linebacker for the Lions. He has his left hand on Ndamukong Suh's butt, his tush, and his right hand on Sammy Hill's tush.
Yeah.
And he's pushing. And that just happened to be one helmet or face mask on each of my shoulders. And my foot popped as this was happening. My foot actually pops right in the middle of my foot. I didn't know what happened at the time. I'd never even heard of a Lewis Frank injury. That's what I ended up having. But my foot popped, and it went numb, and I kind of limped to the sideline, and I went to the trainer. I was like, hey, something's wrong. Like, it was my anchor foot on field goal. So, yeah, like, this whole thing where people keep coming out and being like, no, man, you know, really, it's a little overblown. There's, like, an injury risk. Okay, fine. Like, if you think that there's overblown, there's injury. But the way you defend it eventually is going to be defensive pushers. And when that starts happening and we get into a rugby scrum, I promise you. And mark my words, dude. Mark, both of y'all can mark me down for this right now. Somebody will be injured. It's just the law. It's a law in nature. Somebody will be injured from the tush push this year.
So,
mark my word. And when they do, they're going to flop like LeBron. They're going to be like, oh! And they're going to roll around, and you're going to be like, wait, there it is.
Well, that
told ya.
But that, and that's it. That's how to get rid of it. So, just so you know, Suh weighed in that year at 313.
Yeah.
Hill weighed in at 331.
Probably squatted 900, too, which is neither here nor there.
Hill weighed in at 331.
Yeah.
That year. And because I've got the Pro Football Reference from that year up. And Stephen Tulloch weighed in at 245. So, ever seen That's My Boy, the movie?
No.
Kill me.
You have odd movie references.
You gotta stop because you already know. So you gotta stop doing that.
Anyways, I can't do my beep boop beep, but that's about 888 pounds.
Yeah.
That's 888 pounds on your
888 pounds.
That's somewhere around there. Maybe 887.
On my left foot.
On your left foot.
Yeah, on my anchor foot. It's frustrating, man, because I know, I promise you, dude, I've been there. And I had to shout out to Dr. Labib and everybody else that handled everything going on after that, the pins and everything else that'd be put in your foot. It's not fun. I promise. So, look, granted, if you want to say, look, it is what it is, that's what, you know, football's built on pushing, okay, cool. But don't tell me there's not a risk of injury for people pushing you into another human being. It's just not true. I promise you. I lived it. And it frustrates me that Jason could. And here's what's crazy, and I'll stop the conversation here. Justin Blaylock was our PA rep. Now, I'm not saying that I'm the reason this rule was put in place. I don't think that at all. I think it was already in motion. But Justin Blaylock was our PA rep that year. And I remember distinctly after these PA meetings, him coming back in and being like, hey, we banned pushers on field goal. And it happened that offseason. And he was like, just so you know, that's not legal anymore. And I was like, well, thank God, because that was not good, dude. I don't want to have to do that again. So
That would help. Yeah. My problem with the Jason Kelce part of this is he didn't like it when he played. He had said in an interview, he's like, blank me about having this stupid play. He goes in there and says, and he doubles down with Jeffrey Lurie as they call it the safest play in the history of football, which is a garbage-ass comment on in different levels. And then when asked to talk about what he talked about by the media, who Jason Kelce is now a member of,
yes,
he straight up says, I'm not here to talk to the media. That's the first time a Kelce has ever declined to talk into a microphone ever. These guys love attention. All they want to do is talk and be a part of things, talking and have their faces on commercials. Yet suddenly he couldn't talk. I have a big problem with it. It's very hypocritical for him to go do that yesterday.
Yeah. All right.
In my eyes.
Probably enough of me getting on my soapbox. Let's move on. Let's go to front page.
Yeah. As far as the NBA playoffs, the Eastern Conference did not disappoint last night. Great game between the Pacers and Knicks. It went into overtime thanks to Tyrese Halliburton.
Halliburton. He'll take it. He'll backpedal. A three for the win. And goal! He got it!
Yeah, that shot sent them to overtime. But right at that moment, Tyrese did make the signature Reggie Miller choke sign. It was a little bit premature, but it did not come back to haunt him. Pacers did end up taking down the Knicks on their home turf, Madison Square Garden. Tyrese brought in 31 points. Aaron Nesmith had 30. Final score was 138-135. Series stands at 1-0. And after that game, Halliburton did address making that choke sign after the shot.
I wasn't like plotting on it or anything. Everybody wanted me to do it like last year at some different point, but it's gotta feel right. And it felt right at the time. If I would have known it was a two, I would not have done it. So I think I might have wasted it. If I do it again, then people might say I'm like aura farming. So I don't plan on using it again.
I don't think he wasted it. It didn't come back to haunt him.
It was questionable. I love the ode to the history. He has a relationship with Reggie Miller. I guess my thing was the guy that should have done it was Nesmith, because Nesmith hit like four or five threes in that fourth quarter. At one point in time, Jalen Brunson goes out with his fifth foul. The Knicks didn't go on a 14-0 run, and Nesmith brings them back. It was a great game. It's kind of what this history, the rivalry between that, and there has been a rivalry, especially in the 90s, of these two teams. I'm just glad the Knicks lost, but I just didn't think it was as near as Reggie's was so much better when he did it, because Reggie did all of it. Then he does the choke, and he did it at Spike Lee. That was in 94. But the way he did it, Halliburton's was a little bit too much acting, but I love the fact that he's embracing the history of not only his franchise, but this rivalry.
Yeah, the OG was definitely better. But shout out to Tyrese Halliburton for pulling it out of the bag. But like I said in the headline, the Knicks are in trouble, because last night the Pacers showed that they have way much more capable depth than the Knicks. Like, the Knicks have some guys off the bench, but the Pacers' depth, when you talk about Obi Toppin coming off the bench, when you talk about TJ McConnell, I mean, they have so much more capable depth that can make impact plays and that are actually impact players than the Knicks do. And we already know Tom Thibodeau has a short rotation, plus with the Pacers wanting to play with pace, no pun intended, Knicks are in serious trouble.
Well, it's a good point with the Thibodeau, because Thibodeau's known for running players into the ground because of that.
And that's why they broke down last year.
But remember one thing. This is exactly what happened, if I'm not mistaken, in games 1 and 2 of the semis of the Eastern Conference between the Knicks and the Celtics. And it's a taste of your own medicine a little bit. So it didn't disappoint game 1.
Well, game 2 is tomorrow at 8 p.m. at Madison Square Garden. Tonight, Timberwolves and Thunder face off in game 2 in the Western Conference in OKC.
Man, love to see it. And speaking of which, I was talking about these kids coming up with new words for everything. Aura farming. I think that we just called it clout chasing just like 10 years ago, right?
Oh, yes.
I mean, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's not aura farming. What is that?
Aura farming or clip farming is a good one, too.
Has that got something to do with that farming game on Facebook?
It's 10 years ago.
No, absolutely not.
We're just using those cellular devices to come up with new stuff. It's all good, though. We don't hate you for it. Hey, we come back on the side of the break. All the coordinators talked yesterday in Flowery Branch. I'll tell you about one coordinator saying something that I thought was eye-opening, to say the least. Stick with us here. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio 99.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Again.
It can, you know, at the same time, we do things a little bit different. I'm not saying better or worse, a little different from the standpoint of the volume of our defense is way less than any of these guys are used to. Even the college guys coming up, especially guys coming from, you know, major programs like Georgia, where they have a huge playbook. And that's been amazing for a lot of different people. I mean, Coach Smart is one of the best to ever do it at any level. But in our system, we're more simple in the fact that the volume of our defense is small, you know. So, and I'm not to say that it's easy by any means, because there's deeper detail within every defense that we have. But it's conducive to guys picking it up a little bit faster.
Yeah, conducive is a good word. That's one we have to reinvent with the youth these days. You know what I mean? Just throwing that out there. I'm just kidding. It's the Morning Shift. Mike, Ali, Bo, and who you just heard from was defense coordinator Jeff Ulbrich. He was speaking to the media yesterday, and he's got this volume thing going on, and he's talking about basically how quickly can you come in and implement your defense. And he's just – I thought it was eye-opening to hear him say the word volume, because he's like, you know what, man, we're going to be able to play fast. Not going to try to do too much. We're going to let all these new, younger defenders kind of fly around with their hair on fire, and it is what it is. And I kind of love that from him.
Well, and does that surprise you, Bo, Mike, that Jeff was saying that their NFL defensive playbook is thinner than the Georgia playbook? Is that surprising?
I'm sitting here, and I've got all these thoughts running through my head. And over here on the left side, it's not surprising, because I think they have certain roles for they play less players in NFL, I feel like.
Yeah.
And I think, like, a program, like, for instance, a program like Georgia, they've got so many players, and they want to keep guys so fresh that Jalen Walker, he played like four different positions on that defense.
Yeah.
But I think they've even said they want him doing one thing. Then on the other side, I'm like, well, like, no, I mean, how can an NFL playbook be smaller than a college one? Because, because there's certain athletes on some college teams that are just they're asked to do just certain things because they only fit in that little hole, right? I don't know. So I'm confused. I've talked myself in and out of it.
I'm not sure which stance you're taking here.
I'm confused with it, because I've talked myself in and out of it. But I will say that you're going to face maybe three or four different NFL offenses, right? Like, there's so many.
At least.
Like, but in college, I think you could play maybe nine different offenses.
Well, and I think you're heading the right direction, because I'd go a step further and say, you know, 15 years ago, and this is what Jeff Ulbrich was talking about yesterday. So, like, you know, I came up by, you know, stopping the run. We talked about stopping the run. 15 years ago, there was like two different, maybe three different schemes. You ran West Coast, you had the wide zone, and you just, you know, your I formation, drop back, you know, kind of offense.
And there was one team that would run the run and shoot kind of thing.
Right. I mean, like, you just, like, NFL offenses were not that, they weren't that crazy. They weren't that, you didn't see the spread stuff and the four wide and then, you know, coming back into two tights and everything else. So I think Jeff Ulbrich's just essentially saying, look, we have, instead of making a massive playbook, we've just adapted our personnel to where they can be multiple up front, and we can adjust to whatever we see.
And I want to take her question further, because I think Allie's got a great question. I think it's a great question by Allie, and I want to add to it. Is the – because of the way offenses play today, is the basis that you really – your base defense is no longer a straight-up 3-4, it's now a nickel? Is that – I think that, and I personally, I want to ask you, but I think that that is a led to the volume going down in size of a playbook because, hey, we're a nickel. Well, we're a nickel 75% of the time, so we're not switching to dime or we're not switching to this base.
This is why I always laugh at, you know, the whole 3-4-4-3. Like, are you an A-gap defender? Or are you two-gapping? Like, you need to add, like, are you a B-gap defender? Or are you ripping the – like, it's just about style of play. And I think that when you look at a guy like Rook, like, that we've drafted, that we always say, well, he can be multiple up front. Who's what, 290? Right, he can play kind of a five technique. He can play a C gap. He can play a tight end, or he can go into a three technique. And so, what you've done is essentially you've taken out. Hey, we're going to run a bear package for this, or this rundown package, or this package for this. And you've basically said it's going to be all the same people. It's just that we're going to shrink them down in different fronts when these different situations kind of present themselves. So,
and that's why, to me, that you have a bigger playbook in college, because in college you have. You know, they're running quarterback stuff. You have certain formations where you go in, you put heavy. Like, there's so many, there's so much more of a personnel in college football offensively that you're going to run out there that your playbook has to be bigger to have a counter for that, right?
Yeah. The rosters are twice the size in college, so you could be more personnel based. Yeah. Well, hopefully that answered it.
See, I talked myself into it. Yeah, I got there. It took me 8 minutes, Allie, but I got
Congratulations.
There.
I'm glad you found that resolution because it is Thursday, so we got to get to my Mac drop for Throwback Thursday trivia. And before we into this, I want to let you guys know I am hitting the road. I want you to join me in Sports Radio 92.9 The Game this Saturday, 10 to noon at Calavan Kia of Lithia Springs. You can see how tall I am, and you can check out Atlanta's.
Oh, there you go.
Surprising.
like a carnival show.
Yep. You can check out Atlanta's largest selection of new Kias, and there's also over 350 used cars. Don't miss your chance to score a 5-day cruise for two with every car sold. And again, this is Saturday, 10 to noon at Calavan Kia of Lithia Springs on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Come please guess Allie's height. You get a free cup.
All right, you guys ready for Throwback Thursday trivia?
I think so.
So we're going to do 2000s edition. Bo, you have to defend your title from last week. You did win.
That was a tough loss.
As a reminder, your name is your buzzer, okay?
All right,
here we go. And Dylan's going to help me hear who says their name first. All right, in 2008, what Olympic swimmer set a
record? Michael Phelps.
Ding. All right, that is one for Bo. What was the name of the reality show Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie starred in where they gave up their luxury-filled lives to see us how real folk live?
Golly, I can see the show.
In 2003.
Oh, I watched
Mike,
that show.
I'm going to say, I can't remember. Rags to Riches, something
no.
like that.
No. You want to steal, Bo?
Yeah, I'm trying.
He wants to use his computer
so
bad.
The Farm Life or something.
Oh, so close. The Simple Life. Yeah. Nobody gets a point on
Dang
that
it.
One.
I should have known that one.
I watched that show.
Yeah.
For some reason.
It was hilarious.
I was an idiot. And I guess, I don't know.
All right. What team drafted Eli Manning at number one?
The Chargers did.
All right. That is two for Bo.
Not doing well.
Come
man.
On, Mike.
I'm just like a half step behind here. All right. Here we go.
Okay. Here we go. In 2005, what actor famously jumped on Oprah's couch to
clip? Mike.
I think I heard Mike first. Yeah.
Tom Cruise. Let's go.
All right.
We're back in.
Mike's got one.
He was on Pat McAfee yesterday.
He was. I saw that. In 2006, what quarterback was the first to rush for 1,000 yards?
Mike.
You know this.
No hints.
Is it Michael Vick?
It is.
Yeah, there you go. I was trying to talk myself out of Michael Vick, but I was like, no, that's Michael Vick.
I was like to say you.
but my thought was on Michael Vick. I was like, no, he had to have done that earlier. You know, but he didn't. I don't think he got 1,000 until 06. God, man, what a bad time. I don't even want to talk about 2007.
All right, so it's all tied up now, 2-2. In 2007... what Nintendo game launched a fitness craze?
Squid. Wii? Sports?
You got to be more...
What? It's Nintendo Wii Sports.
Yeah,
but
there's...
You got half of it.
I'll try to steal here. It's like... It had the
Buzz
plate.
Me.
It had the Wii Balance. I don't know. Something like that.
It was the Wii Fitness. Wii Fit.
Yeah, yep. Wii Fit. There
yep,
you
yep,
go.
Yep, yep.
Sorry.
All right.
Sorry. That's a good
on
one,
that
though.
One.
I had one of those balance plate things. Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
In 2000, the Yankees won the World Series by defeating the New York Mets. Which Yankee shortstop?
Mike. Derek Jeter.
There you go. And just so you know, the question was who won MVP.
Yeah. I was sitting there going, Bernie Williams, Paul O'Neill. Who's she going to say?
Next time, don't give the position, please.
All right. 3-2. Mike is winning. In 2004, Matt LeBlanc attempted a spinoff show from Friends.
Squid. What? Joey.
That is correct.
Wow, I would not have known that.
3-3.
That's impressive.
Okay, in 2008, terrible show. We met Walter White.
Or Mike.
Mike.
Breaking Bad.
Yep, that's it. All right, 4-3.
Great show. Great show of all time, actually.
Yeah. In 2008, who was the first female to win an IndyCar race?
Mike.
Mike?
Was this Danica? Danica Patrick?
Hey, man, stop guessing.
That is correct.
Yeah. I just, like, I get my name out, and I try to talk myself out of it in my brain. I'm like, no, don't talk yourself out of it. It's Danica Patrick.
I mean.
We have one more question.
Well, then it's got to be for 3 points.
What team was Mark McGwire playing for in 2001?
Mike.
Mike.
The Cardinals.
That is correct.
I know that you hesitated because you were about to say A's. You were like, wait a minute, what year?
No, I just couldn't remember if he went anywhere after St. Louis, and I knew in 98 was big run.
But
so
the thing
why.
Is, since it was 2000,
what even trivia, happened in 2001? What happened in 2001 with him?
It was probably his last year.
Final year.
Yeah, it was last year. He probably hit still like 65 home runs because he's so juiced. Out of his freaking mind.
That was embarrassing.
So the final score comes down to 6-3. Mike, you win. Congratulations. Do you want to give a victory speech?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't find that necessary. As the mafia knows, we're just kind of flying under the radar. I won't accept the Protector Award today.
No,
I'm not accepting
award.
The Protector Award today.
No, you guessed your way to the victory. I mean, that's a part of it, I guess.
You literally, during her intro, said, Squid! So I don't know why you're casting stones at me, man. Just
I love the fact that there was a Nicole Richie, Paris Hilton question. In there.
I still would have never known there was a show called Joey.
No, yeah,
it was
no.
terrible.
Was
oh,
it, all,
it was awful.
It had to have been.
It
bad.
Was awful.
It had good ratings for like the first 2 weeks.
He like moved to California and like was struggling
it's
an actor.
Midlife crisis.
I mean, it was like it just. And then they tried to make
that
him like
show so
he was like an uncle, like he's almost like a fatherly figure to like his nephew or niece or something. It was just like they tried to make Joey like kind of smarter, but still dumb. It was like this guy to look up to for advice,
like a Danny Tanner.
Yeah,
no, you can't do that.
Yeah, yeah, no, he's Joey. I'm Joey. I'm disgusting.
Eat a lot of food. Girls love me. Anyways, man, we got to go to break on the morning shift. Hey, coming up at the top of the hour, I want to dive into this conversation. Coordinators met with the media yesterday up in Flower Branch. If you are like me and you were concerned about the middle of the Atlanta Falcons defense, I don't think Jeff Ulbrich said anything that's going to soothe our emotions. All right, I'll let you hear from Jeff Ulbrich coming up on the other side of the break. And also Zach Robinson as well. Stick with us. It's the morning shift. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.